everyone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks that we can come together once again on this Sunday morning and we can hear from your wonderful word. We pray as we embark upon a really important time in our church, 40 days of love, that we will understand your love and want to be loving in that way as a church and as your people. Amen. Well, so happens we are embarking upon a series on love called the 40 Days of Love. 40 days, 7 talks, 6 weeks, where we as a church, and hopefully you as individuals as well, are going to be considering love in all its depth. And it just so happens that it turns out to be Valentine's Day today. We didn't plan that, just the way it sort of worked out. And if you like Valentine's Day, happy Valentine's Day to you. And husbands, if your wife does, flowers, good thing. But if you're a little bit more cynical like me, Valentine's Day isn't anything particularly special. And as I was looking through things that I said about Valentine's Day over the week and considering Valentine's Day, I wonder whether we should actually be calling it not Happy Valentine's Day, but Happy Lust Day. So I read an article in the Herald yesterday about how florists hate Valentine's Day being on the weekends. Why would that possibly be? Because they don't get all the people who want to send flowers to their mistresses at the office because they're closed. Their sales go right down because so many people are sending flowers to their other girlfriend, to not their wife. That's what these florists were saying had happened. And one guy who delivers flowers around the city, his sales go way down. It seems that things are a bit confusing. And even to be a florist, one of the florists said, if you're a florist, then, well, you don't just have to be good with flowers, which I thought that's all you'd have to be if you're a florist. You actually have to be very good at keeping secrets and discretion, because you often have people ringing you up and saying, who sent me those flowers? Or you have to keep secrets. Now, whether you like romance on Valentine's Day or not is neither here nor there, really. But what this highlights to us, I think, is that our society is really confused when it comes to love. We're really confused. We're not quite sure what it is and what it looks like, and we replace all sorts of things with love, which we'll see over the coming weeks. We include lust, we include romance, we include good feeling, sentimentality, attraction, all these things we'd like to just swap in for love. And it becomes confusing. Not just because of the confusion of bad things and not understanding love rightly, it's also because the concept itself is so deep and so rich and hard to nail down. But that said, I reckon there's one thing that you and I can agree on. Love is important. We like it. We like love. We want to be loving. It's important. Now, love is all manner of things. I love cheese. I love being able to hit the golf ball 270 metres down the fairway with a slight draw and it lands smack in the middle of the fairway. That's for me, that's awesome. For you, you don't care, but you have your own that you love. I love my wife. Those three things I love very differently. Very differently. But it's important. Over these 40 days, we're wanting to really understand true, deep, relational love. Because not only do we have this inkling that it's important, God shows us that it's important. So when Jesus was asked, out of all the laws that you gave us on how to live, when the teachers came up to him and said, out of all the laws you gave us on how to live, how we are supposed to be, what is the most important? Well, what did Jesus say? He said in Mark 12, verse 30, verse 31. You probably know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. That's how important love is. When Jesus summarises all of God's law, he says it's love. God first, each other second. And that's why we find little phrases in the Bible like in 1 Corinthians 14:1, which says, follow the way of love. Follow it. You found it? Follow it. Don't let it go. Understand it and go with it. This whole concept of love. Is this our side project for the next 40 days? Is this something we'd like to be a bit more loving, but in our busy lives we'll try and do it on the side? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:16 verse 14, which I imagine we're going to come back to and reflect upon, such a simple little phrase. Do everything in love. Love's not the most important word there. Everything is. Do everything in love. Not just some parts of your life, not just at some moments. Everything you do has to be in the framework of love. And that is why we have decided to spend this time wanting to really get a hold of it, to be more like loving. You see, you may think, oh, I'm okay at loving, I try and love people and I do better. We're not talking about that over these few weeks. We're talking about being great lovers. We're talking about being people who really want to love and do something about it. Nothing of our life is hidden because we do everything in love. So, there's our agenda. I hope you want to come with us in doing this. And if we're going to do this, we need to avoid the confusion that is out there on what love is. And the way you do that, first and foremost, is to go to the source of love. Where does love come from? What is love? Where does it come from? Well, there's no surprises for us who follow God. It is Him. God is the source of love. In that passage that was read for us today, twice we see God is love. In verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. God is love. See, it's not just the one of the things that he likes doing with all the other things he likes doing. It's who he is. It's his character. He can only but love. Every single action that he does, every single thought that he has, every single emotion that God has is love. So if you want to understand love, you need to understand God. We need to understand how He expresses love. And as we do that today, I have four things which I think highlight to us God's love and then how we are to reflect that. The first one, God is the initiator of love. God is the initiator of love. 1 John 4, you can have that open in front of you. It's most of our time in 1 John 4. Verse 10. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. We're not the ones starting off with the loving. We don't find love, pick it up and give it to God, and then He loves back to us. This is love. God loved us. He initiates it. Made very obvious for us in verse 19. We love because He first loved us. The order of love is important. The source of love of God is the one who initiates it. But the contrast to His initiating love and who we are as people could not be any more greater. It's like black and white. See, while God is in the business of loving, it's who He is, we see in Romans 5 in verse 10, we see when we were God's enemies, that's when he loved us. It's when we were his enemies. You have God loving, us being enemies. The contrast couldn't be any more stark. Not only is he love, the object of his love is those who hate him, who are his enemies. And so the first thing we need to take away is that if we are going to be capable of real, deep, profound love, we need to realise it's only because of his love first. It's his love first. Verse 7 of chapter 4, love comes from God. You see, it's not about, and I've heard this many times from people who are really struggling with their relationship with God, it's not about, I need to love God more, I wish I could love God more. It's about embracing how much he loves you. And if you've struggled with that, turn it around. He does the loving first and I can embrace it. While that said, there are many of us here who in some way are scarred in our past. That means the way that we love, we struggle with. We don't quite understand how to love. We have scars that run deep, people that have hurt us, things that we have done that we're not proud of, all the way back even to in our childhood. These 40 days are about us seeking to heal these scars through the love of Jesus. And I want you to pray and to seek to heal those scars so you can become a better lover. See, God's love is unfathomable, never ending, never failing. See, I say this, and you could quite easily say to me, Michael, how can you possibly tell me this? You say God's love me and it's big and he loves first, it's all well and good, but I'm not feeling it. You tell me it's transforming and I don't see it. Well, this leads me to my second point. Love is an action, not just an emotion. Love is an action, not just an emotion. You see, feelings don't stand alone when it comes to God's love. You see, actually, as I try to think through and see the big picture of love in the Bible, what you see is that you can't escape love in the Bible. Just a side point, you just can't. It's everywhere. And when it's not there, you think, well, that may be a really bad period. See, love in the Bible is always accompanied by his actions. We know what love is by what God has done. It's so much more than arousal and lust and sentimentality, which we'll talk about those in later weeks. It's something you do. And we know exactly what God did. Verse 9 of chapter 4 of 1 John. Let me read it to you again. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. See, God didn't just give us a detailed exposition on what love is so we can get it in our heads. It's, no, actually, I'm going to take my Son into the world. He's going to go there and he's going to live it out, and there's their definition of love. And what do we see? We see Jesus on the cross. Verse 10, this is love. You want a definition? This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus died on the cross. That is love. That is love. As we consider love over these weeks, we consider that. Because that is what that act is. He loves us. Romans 5 describes it as he demonstrates his love for us in this. He died for us. It's a demonstration. But it's not just a demonstration and an example. It's the very thing that makes it possible for us to love. It's the very thing that makes it possible for us to be in relationship with God. Because his death, as it says in verse 10, is an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It deals with our being an enemy of God. It takes it away. His love deals with our unloveliness. That's what it does. Love is behavioural. Love is things you do when you don't feel like it. See, the picture of Valentine's Day, the picture of Hollywood, the picture of the whole music industry, the picture of our society is love is two people who get on so brilliantly together, who have a great time together, who go on fantastic holidays, enjoy eating meals together. It's all fantastic. Love is actually doing something you don't like for somebody. Those of you who are parents know, you don't love getting up to your kids screaming in the middle of the night, do you? As in itself, you do it because you love them. Those of us who have had people that have been sick that we've cared for, do we hold the sick bugger to them because it's such a good thing to do? We love it. No. Do we really think Jesus thought, I can't think of anything better to do than to face the whole wrath of God on myself? No. He went to the cross because he loved us. The Garden of Gethsemane shows us how much he didn't look forward to it. But his love, that stark contrast between us and him, is profound. And that's why in chapter 3 of 1 John it says, he lavished his love upon us. I love that idea. 1 John 3 verse 1, God lavished his love on us. We're children of God, it says. Friends, you are loved. You are loved by the source of the one who is love. You may have people in your life, who should have loved you, who should have been there for you, family, friends, who let you down. But your lot in life is that they didn't. But the one who gives us love loves you far greater. That is good. That is fantastic. But as we consider this love, as we consider that love is an action, what else is it about love? There's something missing. Love is a choice and commitment. That's the third thing. Love is a choice and commitment. That is to say, you need to forget the lie that we are told over and over and over again that love is about falling in love. That you fall in love as if you're walking along and oops, you fall over and I find myself in love. It's a lie. It's not true. Love is a decision. Where you say, I'm going to love that person. I'm committed to that person. You know, marriage is about getting up there and saying, no matter what happens, in the death do us part, I will love that person. I'm committed to that person. Falling in love is a lie. Did Jesus just fall on a cross and go, wow, what do you know? I love them. I'm going to die for them now. Well, that's all. Falling in love is not true. Attraction and emotion and other things we experience. But real love is to choose to love somebody and to commit to them. It's not uncontrollable. See, the excuse that parents sometimes say, you know, we couldn't help it, it's not our fault, we just don't love each other anymore. Divorce is built on that for many, many people. We need to own up and just say, actually, no, for whatever reasons, we've decided not to love each other anymore. You don't fall in and out of love. I looked up in the Bible, trying to find, does the Bible ever say about falling in love? I found two. They're not very good. Samson and Delilah. Samson fell in love with Delilah. Delilah wasn't very good for Samson. If you haven't heard the story, go and look it up. And then it gets worse. Amnon and his desire for his brother Absalom's daughter Tamar. It says he fell in love with her. And if you read the story, it was a disgusting pig who just wanted to sleep with his brother's daughter. And he just lusted after her and connived his way to doing it. They're the two examples that I could find that talk about falling in love. You think about our culture, and I don't know if you ever experienced the 90s phenomenon of Seinfeld. It's back on TV, and I was a product of that 90s generation. Those four characters were all about falling in and out of love. You know what their falling in and out of love was all about? The people that they went out with was all about how good they made them feel. Did they get anything out of it? How enjoyable it was. They wanted better people. If that person was short and they wanted a tall person, even if it was going well, they'd kick them away and they'd get another person. Falling in and out of love for selfishness. Every single relationship in that show was about that. Or we see it all the time on our TV screens. Instead, we see our love as a choice. I want you to see it that way. Verse 11 of chapter 4 of 1 John. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Because he loved us. We choose to love the people around you now. If you look around at them, you choose to love them. Because God loved you. But before we love each other, we need to acknowledge God's love for us, don't we? See, in verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. So we need to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord of all, God himself, who did what we just talked about, that amazing act of death for us out of profound love. You need to see that and go, I actually accept that. I need to trust in that. I need to turn back to him and stop being his enemy and now love him. Embrace that. Say sorry to him. We need to go from being his enemies to believing that he saves us through his love and that we want to love him and obey his commands. See, in chapter 5, verse 3, this is love for God. To obey his commands. If you say you believe in Jesus and you follow him, fantastic, I hope we all do. And part of doing that is that in response to his saving you, is that you go from his enemies to going, you know what? I want to obey what he wants. That's why it goes on to say it's not burdensome. You want to do what God wants. You want to be like Jesus. You want to do what he wants. And we're going to consider that over these weeks. I want to say to you today, today is the day. I'm sure there's possibly somebody here today who hasn't truly embraced God's love. It's possibly still an enemy of God. Don't trick yourself into thinking that you're okay with this. Decide today, you know what, his love is far greater than I've let myself think. I'm going to embrace it. Trust in him. Love him. And seek to love others. Do that today. If you decide to do that today for the first time, that brings us great joy. You'll make my week no matter what else happens. And come and have a chat to me. But we don't just stop there. Verse 21. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's not an option. Of course it's not an option. We must love each other. And as we say that, they're not just words to pass over. Because the reality is, those we love sometimes profoundly hurt us. There's those of us in the room that have possibly had somebody else here hurt us. And we really struggle to love them. Actually, we put up the blinkers to loving them. We'll love everybody else, but because of what they've done to us, we can't love them anymore. These 40 days are about you realizing that's wrong. And I'm going to seek to change. Lastly, the short one, love is not discriminative. See, to love like Jesus is not to just choose who you want to love. Luke 6 verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. You went to jail, you saw visitation time, mass murderers, drug dealers and pushers have many people who love them coming in to see them. It's loving your enemies. That's what Jesus did. You can't do it as a part-time hobby to who you like. Imagine if a husband says to his wife, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to you 5 days a week. On the weekends, hey, 5 out of 7 is not bad. I fear sometimes that's how some people ridiculously behave. As if you've got the quota. The 40 days of love is about us as a church and as individuals wanting to learn to love like Jesus. Not just good lovers, but great lovers. And so what are we going to do? Well, I'm asking you today primarily to say, yes, I want to be a better lover. And I'm going to commit to it. I'm going to seek to do it. I'm not just going to think about it. That would be disastrous. That would be unloving. I'm actually going to seek to try and change and be better. I'm going to try and love him more. Each week we're going to have a sermon thinking about these ideas and different aspects of love and how we are to love. Our Bible studies are following up with discussion questions which will reflect the sermons and get you thinking and discussing and trying to encourage one another to love each other. If you're not in a Bible study, do that. And the other thing we're going to do, and I want to ask you to do today, is as I looked through the Bible and saw love was everywhere, I thought, why don't we do devotionals, 10-minute devotionals every day on love? So if you would like, if you each day read the Bible, which I hope you do, whatever you're reading, put it aside and for the next 40 days, read the devotionals that we'll give you on love. We're going to go something like this. In 1 Corinthians it says, love is patient. How is God patient? How am I being patient? Where do I struggle? How can I be more patient today? And pray. Each day, something like that. If you would like that and you don't have email and you haven't been receiving emails, put your name on the sheet up the back and I'll send them to you tomorrow. And if you're on email, I will email them to you. Do that with us. The second thing we're going to do with learning Jesus. We're all about love because we're all about Jesus. And so we're going to get to know him even better over these 40 days. And the third thing we're going to do is we're going to practice. That is, we're not just intellectualizing about this, we're not just thinking about it. We're going to talk and we're going to think about how we can do specific things. In your Bible study groups, how can you do things to be more loving? We're going to ask you, I'm going to ask you next week to think about people who you can actually try and be more loving towards in that week. We're going to talk about how can we actually do things to change. And my prayer is that you would want to do that because you want to be like your great loving God. On the screen, this is my prayer for today. This is our prayer, really, for the whole week, for the whole series. It's Paul's prayer. It says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Let me pray that for you now. Heavenly Father, we pray that these next 40 days, we will love you more and more. We'll become more and more like you. We'll understand your love and its never-ending depth and insight. Help us to discern what is right, what is best, pure and blameless. Help us to be a church that is characterized by the love of your Son, up to the very day that he returns. Amen.